we found that this problem is not studied in classical plasma physics. It may have probably next slide. So it's based on the two papers published with my collaborators Angelo Lepidi and Gabriele Piccinelli, and here is the reference. And surprisingly, people did not look into this problem, and surprisingly, completely independent group, and one of their papers was earlier than ours by Giga Gabadadze and Rachel Rosen, made very similar thing, not exactly because they studied only zero temperature case, but we agree in our in this limit. And the next question, why it might be interesting. First, according to this New York University group, it may be interesting for helium condensation in dense stars. It was their motivation, or not motivation, they wanted to apply the result to that, and where helium can condense. We studied another problem, namely phase transition in the early universe if lepton asymmetry, asymmetry between leptons and antileptons, was very big. In that case, in equilibrium, there could be formation of Bose condensate of electrically charged scalar field. And maybe it may have even connection with normal solid state or normal plasma physics, presumably, where I'm not an expert, but the results, at least somewhat similar, is known already for 50 years and observed in experiment, but not exactly this effect. So first I make very, well, what I'm going to talk would be trivial, I mean technically, and probably many people know, though, but the result would be quite unusual. So first of all, I remind what is chemical potential. If the light is introduced, if we have equilibrium, then the equilibrium distribution is very well known. It is either Fermi or Bose distribution, this red one, plus or minus for bosons and fermions and bosons. And if we have different number of particles and antiparticles, we can introduce another constant parameter in the distribution. There are two parameters, temperature and chemical potential. And for antiparticles, it has opposite sign. So number density of particles and antiparticles would be different. So if you have asymmetry, like baryon asymmetry of the universe or any other, by any other reason, an equal number of particles and antiparticles, we have to introduce chemical potential. And this is the solution of equilibrium solution of kinetic equation. If you substitute this thing into collision integral will be zero. It's easy to check. Now, next thing, that maximum value of bosonic chemical potential is boson mass. It's more or less evident because if it will be bigger than m sub b, this thing would be negative, and this is absolutely senseless. And if, for example, we have very big asymmetry between bosons and antibosons, so it could not be realized with maximum value of chemical potential, we have to then the effect, the phenomena of Bose condensation would take place, and again we would have two parameter distribution function, unknown constant C and temperature T, and again this distribution is an equilibrium solution of kinetic equation. If you substitute that into collision integral, it's a good exercise and very simple. Then this function would annihilate collision integral, but only if and only if chemical potential is equal to bosonic mass. So this is maybe rather unusual, but also correct, not as in the standard textbooks, but it's nothing new in that, that Bose condensation takes place if you have big asymmetry between particles and antiparticles, so that maximum allowed chemical potential couldn't help. Okay, so now I return to the standard screening in plasma. Everybody knows that if you have electric charge, some inhomogeneity, then colonic field is distorted. It turns into Yukawa field, which is exponentially screened at the distances of inverse d by mass. Of course, I use everywhere natural system of units, probably particle physicists, it's normal. H, C, and what else? K, Boltzmann constant is equal to unity. By the way, it's very strange that quite often astronomers blame physicists for this system of units, saying, you stupid system, you cannot fill any size. But first people who used it were astronomers. They were first to measure a unit of length and unit of time. So they assumed that speed of light is equal to unity. Okay, so in normal plasma, we have such exponentially screened charges, and physically it's more or less evident. We have, for example, positive charge which attract electrons and so and push out positrons, so we have this kind of behavior. So, and technically it is, one has to calculate, and we will do that later, zero component of photon polarization operator at zero frequency, because we consider static solution, and as a function of k. And so it has k squared is the normal term. It is inverse photon propagator, you know, of course. And then there appeared some massive term, which is d by mass, which is proportional to electric charge squared. Again, very well known. Next thing, if we consider electric mass, magnetic mass doesn't appear in this limit. There, I think it never appears. It could be non-abelian theories and the higher orders, and all this result and the technique, at least, simply applicable to the case of lowest order and perturbation theory, because in highest order, maybe it works, but we'll see. So, okay, next thing. So. No, as far as I understand, not. No, at least in abelian theories, it shouldn't appear. At least, I know that even in non-abelian, it doesn't appear in E squared limit. So, okay, but so, and the effect of bosonic condensate leads to rather strange term, M1, some mass Q divided by K, and another term, M to power 4, some massive parameter divided by K squared. And the asymptotic behavior of the screen potential is determined by the singularity of this function, singularity point. And if you make usual Fourier transform, and we'll see that later, and take pole contributions to this integral, you obtain very interesting result. There would be exponential screening and something oscillating. And we were so much surprised by this result. It was probably due to our poor education. Maybe some people know here that there could be oscillating behavior of screening, and we didn't know. And I will derive this expression a little later. So we didn't publish our paper for a while. And then we found out from the paper, in fact, by Gabadadze and Reschel, that there is very well-known phenomena discovered 50 years ago, so-called Friedel oscillations. Anybody in this room knows what is Friedel oscillations? Okay, so I'm in a good company, because we also didn't know that. And this Friedel oscillations was found theoretically by Friedel, and also later on by some other guys who somehow developed his results. And moreover, it was observed in experiment. The result was something, a screening, which is sometimes positive, sometimes negative. I don't have clear intuitive understanding on that. It is a kind of, you know, overshooting. The charge is so strong that it attracts more particles which necessary for neutralization, so it comes, change sign, and then, I better not say what I don't understand, so maybe you have your own simple understanding of this phenomenon. I don't know. Theoretically, it's rather simple. And the second thing, it is observed in experiment in solid state physics at low temperatures. So it was known, and so the bosonic case, which we studied, is technically, at least this thing, is rather different from Friedel oscillations. But we also studied further in our second paper and found analog of these Friedel oscillations. So at least it is not the result of oscillation is not something which is out against physics, because at least for fermions it exists. Okay, so theory was quite simple. Everybody knows this Lagrangian Maxwell term, scalar field with positive charge and let's say electron field with negative charge. So, and we wanted to find effects of medium on Maxwell equations. Normally, to this end, people use thermal field theory, either so-called imaginary time formalism, which is applicable only in equilibrium situation, or real-time formalism, or Keldysh-Matsubara, which is quite complicated, and you have to double all propagators. And in fact, when I tried to, ages ago, try to understand that it's possible, but one had some headache, at least on first reading. And moreover, I didn't know how one can introduce into this real or imaginary time formalism to introduce Bazet condensation. That's maybe this is the reason why people didn't do that before. So we decided to work in very simple frameworks. Namely, we had equations of motion. This Dirac equation, this is equation for Klein-Gordon equation with some source, which is this one. Electromagnetic field enters here, electric magnetic field also enters here. And this is right-hand side of the Maxwell equation, this electric current of phi with this term, of course. This is very well-known Segal diagram, and electric current of fermions. Up to now, it's nothing new. Next thing was we wanted to solve these equations in the first order, just operator equation using Green function. So symbolically, we have phi equal to some unperturbed term plus Green function multiplied by the source. Of course, this integral, blah, 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 you can easily do that. The same is for psi. And then we always work in the lowest order in electric coupling constant in electric charge. Then we had this expression and substituted into Maxwell expression equations. After that, we made average over medium. There are vacuum terms and medium. You will see on the next page. And we come, and by construction, it is true for any distribution of particle, any particle number, any occupation numbers, in particular those with delta function. And
such trouble with making
well,
you just shift the temperature or temperature redefinition?
I don't know. You see, I'm not an expert in this formalism. And when I tried, you know, with my unexpert approach to introduce this thing, I didn't know how to do. So, and in. I'm afraid it doesn't work because I don't know. It is true if you introduce chemical potential.
Yeah.
But if you introduce Bazet condensation, which is constant by delta function, I don't know how to introduce it here. Usually you have exponent minus whatever energy over T minus Hamiltonian, and then since you can make. It is like imaginary time formalism, so like imaginary time in standard action, so it's trivial, but I don't know how to do that. Maybe it's possible. I cannot say. So maybe it's our shortcoming personal, that I don't know how to do that. But at least psychologically for me, it was understanding why people didn't do that before. Maybe they were not interested in that. So I don't know, and if somebody will tell me that, I would be grateful. So instead we did it. Just, you know, very naive way. So we try to, this is zero order equations, which we quantize in the standard way. Equations are longer, but there is trivial part which is missing here. So it's a standard expansion, creation, annihilation operator. This operator, so right-hand side of the Maxwell equation would contain these operators, Green function, and electromagnetic potential A. This, the latter, is considered to be as a classical field, and as for the rest, we average this over medium, and all effects of the medium would be in the right-hand side of Maxwell equations. So this is symbolically what we have here, and this phi zero and psi zero are unperturbed field for which we have the following commutation relation between creation and annihilation operator, average over vacuum, not over vacuum, average over medium, which contains distribution of those particles for bosons and for fermions. After all, we obtained just a standard result, which you can find in the first pages of books on thermal field theory. This is Fourier transformed Maxwell equation. We have current, which was assumed to be zero, because we consider only homogeneous case, but an electric charge density was supposed to be zero, though it's not necessary in cosmology, but it would be quite complicated if we have here non-zero charge density, total charge density. There would be very, I don't know how to treat, very difficult to treat infrared problems in the solution of these equations. There are plenty of works where people put limits on electric charge asymmetry and cosmological electric asymmetry, and they somehow didn't pay attention to these infrared problems, and I'm not sure that all these limits are good. At some extent they may be, but they're not truly not rigorous. So as for this P mu nu thing, it is gauge invariant, so we can work in any gauge. It was known for bosons, things like that. This was quite simple tensor. And essentially we calculated the following graph. We have propagation of photon propagation. Then there was first correction to photon propagator is like that in vacuum. But we are not in the vacuum, so we consider things like that. These two legs go into vacuum. We did not address work in this way, but it is essentially this graph. And this is the standard result. But here we were sure that these distribution functions are really those which contain arbitrary things, in particular Bose condensate. So fermionic part is more or less the same, and this is completely coincide with the known result. Next thing, again, simple technicalities. We have to integrate if plasma is homogeneous and isotropic, then we can integrate previous expressions over angles, and we take only zero, zero component, as you see. So, and then the result would be, again, known result of this thing. This is also in papers or textbooks. And I would like you to pay attention to this logarithmic term. It's well known, but it would play an important role for fermions and for bosons. And in the case of fermions, this term is the source of these so-called Friedel oscillations. So, next thing, I already said that I again reproduced equilibrium distribution for fermions and bosons, and I assumed that chemical potential of bosons is equal to its maximum value. If it is smaller than that, then the term, which is proportional to 1 over k, would not appear. And then also 1 over k squared, because Friedel oscillations for fermions, it is they were first found in the case of non-zero chemical potential. For fermions, there is no maximum value of chemical potential, and at zero temperature. In this case, the distribution of fermions has this form, just abrupt function, theta function, and because of that, some non-analyticity would appear in the polarization tensor, in P00. And the asymptotics, I will say that a little later, of the screened potential at big distances is determined by Fourier transform of photon propagator. And the latter is determined by the singularities in k-plane of the integrand. As usually, if you have integral of oscillating function, you close the contour, and singularity points of this inside this contour determines your asymptotic behavior. In fact, it's the nearest singularity, but there are something slightly more complicated than that. And if you have, if you remember, that's important to technically, that pi is a function, is integral over q of these functions. So if the function is something like that, then it would have singularity. You know, if you have integral of the complex variable, then the singularities of the resulting equation after integration appears in two cases. First, if singularity of the integrand coincide with the integration limits. I have, for example, some function. I have integration from here to here. And I have singularity here. If at some value of the parameters it reaches integration limit, then there will be singularities of the integral. Another possibility, and so this was how these Friedel oscillations have been obtained, assuming that temperature is zero. Later on, people came to non-zero temperature, and I didn't find in the literature how they did it. They found some reasonable results, and in fact, we did it in a slightly different way. Another possibility, if you have integral from zero to infinity, but there are a singularity of the integrand which pinch the contour. So if I have singularity here and singularity here and they coincide, nothing happens because I can move the contour like that. But if I have situation like that, singularities are coinciding and approaching contours from different positions, there will be singularity of the integrated expression. So this works even if you have distribution like that till infinity, and there is some pinching of the contour, which was useful when we studied bosonic case and also fermionic case. We found some maybe new result for non-zero T in the case of fermionic screening, which was studied a lot, but a relativistic case with non-zero temperature. Some expressions were absent in the literature. Yeah.
Usually if you have a contour with a pinch singularity, yeah, in quantum field theory, it usually corresponds to there being a mode counting of collinear and soft modes in quantum field theory. Usually, this,
first of all, this is completely classical things. After all,
is there some analogy here of there being a different propagating mode of the Bose-Einstein condensate?
I cannot say. First of all, here are not propagating modes. If we have, it's simply because it's zero-zero component. Mm-hmm. In fact, if we assume that we have such terrible propagator for all the modes, for propagating space-space mode, then there will be disaster because poles would have ghosts or something terrible. So it's not exactly related. But anyway, we also were worried about that, but we shouldn't because it's not propagating mode. And that's what it's not answered to your question, and I don't know if this simply theorem of complex analysis.
Yeah.
People who studied, I don't know, analytical properties of Feynman graphs, which was quite fashionable topics 20, 30 years ago, know this technique to find whatever singularity of certain Feynman graph. But otherwise, it's more or less 19th century theorem, and that's it. I cannot say much more about that. Maybe it's a good comment, but I'm not good enough. Yeah.
Related to that question, wouldn't you say that the flow is low enough?
No. In some sense, it doesn't, because I don't go to really zero k. We can see, we can find, maybe it's better to say another way around. We can estimate higher order corrections, and they don't spoil this one over k squared behavior. And so it is not, we can see by the result. So at low.
So you put an iota?
Not really, because you see it is nothing, propagator goes to zero. Inverse propagator goes to infinity. So I don't need to put it. In fact, I can work for arbitrary k to see what happens. You can say that if, for example, e squared by k squared term, which enters there, gives very big contribution, and the higher order terms would restore it. There are no higher order terms with the same infrared behavior. So I don't see what works. Okay, so let us make next step. Already been here. If we now I return to this expression, and if you see, look at this term, and assume that this function is just delta function of momentum q, you can easily take the integral and find it that it has exactly this term. This term comes from bosonic condensate, and it contains 1 over k squared, and there is e squared term. And well, maybe I somehow change that. P 0, 0, it's corrections, and there should be also k squared term coming from for free photon. This is the usual Debye mass term, which depends upon temperature, and it may have different limits. It's more or less standard. Well, it is standard expression. At high temperature, we got T squared over 3, as everybody, of course. And at low temperature, it's something expressed through number density or zeta function. And another thing which I already said, that this term appears only, this kind of singularity, only if chemical potential is equal to bosonic mass. Then otherwise, such singularity disappears. In fact, I didn't need to go to very small k. Asymptotic behavior of the integral is determined not by mathematically small k, so in such sense, I'm not in danger. Now,
you're saying that expression is gauge
invariant? Yes. Well, at least we started from this expression is gauge invariant. And after that, I take 0, 0 component. Speaking about 0, 0 component, I cannot say if it is gauge invariant or not, but complete expression for polarization tensor menu is gauge invariant. And even in non-abelian theories in lowest order, gauge invariance is not broken. But if you work in higher orders, there are some problems to maintain gauge invariance. I have people has to fix gauge. I don't know much, but this one is explicitly gauge invariant. So everything is concerned. So now a few things about that. We have.
Sorry,
you're
not saying it is or isn't gauge invariant, you're saying you don't know?
No, I know. Well, I cannot say about gauge invariance having at hand only pi 0, 0.
Yeah.
But since I have expression for total tensor, there is some transformation which transforms one to another.
Yes.
So totally it is gauge invariant.
So even once you've done the thermal loops,
yeah,
it's still gauge invariant?
Yeah, it is lowest order. I didn't check it for higher orders, but the statement is that in abelian theory there is no problem with gauge invariant. In non-abelian, with higher thermal loops, there is. But I don't know about non-abelian, I think it is okay. But anyhow, I'm sitting in abelian theory in lowest order. So it's okay, but again, it's nothing, I didn't say anything new in this moment. I think for this expression, it is known that this expression is gauge invariant. And this
stuff I'm pretty happy with, but once you get into the temperature dependence.
Oh.
Here, temperature dependence comes here.
If in fact, R, it could be even not temperature, it could be even non equilibrium arbitrary functions. We obtain this expression just calculating this kind of diagram or solved equations. We technically solve the equation, but it is exactly the same thing, and averaged over a medium with arbitrary distribution function. So, and you can see that this is indeed gauge invariant. It is written explicitly, checked in our paper. And this is nothing new because it agrees with other people's result.
Why you call it Fermion effect? It is the polarization. Correct. So it's not. You mean you integrate over fermion?
Something like that. Here are fermions. And so there are two terms, fermionic contribution into photon polarization operator and bosonic contribution. They're slightly different. They're very similar. This fermionic part and this bosonic part. It contains G and U because of this Seagull diagram and slightly different coefficients. But it's all for it is all gauge invariant for arbitrary functions. So I simply made more explicit the statement that potential is the Fourier transform of the inverse propagator with pi 0,0. And I can integrate over angles if this is a function of only absolute value of k. So I have something like that, exponent of ikr, imaginary part of this. You see, I didn't close the contour. If pi 0,0 is an even function of k, I can close contour like that. And if it is not, if it contains what is unusual, term over 1 over k, I can only close contour like this. And I have integral here, which is an exponentially dropping function of chi r. And so the integral for big chi r sits just here. It gives non-zero and non-exponential contribution into screening. But normally I have pole here. It is the bipole, and I have exponential device screening. If I have poles shifted to having non-zero real part and imaginary part, we would have oscillating screening in bosonic case. It was also found by Gabadadze and Rosen. And before it was not known. Oscillating behavior for bosons was not found. It was found only for fermions. So returning to Friedel oscillations, which is known case, I simply repeat how it was discovered. There are two kinds of singularities of polarization operator. Namely, there is logarithmic term, which is singular at k equal to 2q or k equal to minus 2q. And there are poles coming from these distribution functions. We have, if we are in equilibrium, we have 1 divided by exponent minus plus 1. And it has poles in complex plane, which is something like that. There is position of the fermionic poles. And it starts from non-zero mu. And if mu is large, it's dominant term. And there are many, many of those poles. So what we can do, we could calculate contribution of all. So if the pole coincides with the branching point of the log, it would be singularity of pi 0,0. And we have to take, so there would be some singularities here. And we have to take them into account. At non-zero temperature, maybe there is one more comment. We need to calculate. The result would be just like that. Integral from the position of this singularity up here. And we have to know, if it goes like this, the discontinuity of pi 0,0 along this cut. And it is easy to calculate because we have one pole which pinch the contour and logarithmic singularity from the propagator coming from here. And there is singularity. So we have pole here. But if we change contour like that, singularity would disappear for this kind of contour. And what we know just discontinuity of the original function of pi 0,0. And this discontinuity can be calculated. It doesn't depend upon n. It's just this number. So this trick is simple. After that, I can estimate the integral and find that contribution of nth pole behaves like that. It has some oscillating part proportional to chemical potential. Temperature is supposed to be very small. And something which is proportional to n. So if T by R is a big number, very large distances or not mathematically small temperature, the screening is dominated by lowest term, n equal 1. People usually didn't calculate that by some reason. I don't know. So, but if this thing, temperature, is mathematically zero or very, very small, we have to make summation over all n. This is a simple geometrical progression. And in the case of bosons, it's slightly more complicated. So we can make summation. And as a result, we obtain classical expression, which is known for 50 years or maybe slightly less, that we have these Friedel oscillations, which I repeat, is known in plasma for many years. This is oscillating function mu by r divided by radius to power 4 instead of exponential. So this is, for us, it was surprise, discovery, discovery of something discovered half a century ago, and maybe slightly more than that. So plasma shows quite unusual behavior. And when I gave a talk about that in Ferrara, there was a solid state physicist who said that everybody knows that. Well, plasma physicist, and that's very well confirmed by experiment. And there is the same expression. In fact, this classical expression, which is true in non-relativistic case, you can do the same thing in using exactly the same technique. So our technique was a little bit different. We calculated it for arbitrary n and make summation. In what I was able to find in textbooks, that people calculated this kind of integral, which can be calculated explicitly. We have expression, you remember, with sum 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This kind of expression with log, and if I integrate this function from 0 to finite value, it can be integrated analytically. So there is no need to make all these tricks with singularities that appear automatically. Okay, so this is off with classical physics. Well, classical, I mean well-known classical results, not as contrast to quantum mechanics. And now we come to bosonic plasma. There are several things. First of all, position of those poles, which shifted due to this term. So it's a kind of polynomial after all. And the M sub zero, as I mentioned, proportional to value of the condensate. And this is simply shift of Debye mass. Then we have this term, quite surprising, which is 1 over K. It was not found by Gabadadze and Reschel, but later they agreed about this term. They did in a somewhat different method. And this term gives to power law screening because of this singularity here. Gives only power law. I have integral dq exponent minus q r, where q runs imaginary part of k. And then we have this term which moved, shift the pole into complex plane. Yes, there was a question, or everybody already died. So there are many different limiting cases depending upon the magnitude of the mass, magnitude of the condensate, temperature. So we considered, for example, just a few examples. If M2 is much smaller than M0 with E, then we have two terms. So this kind of screening term, which is rather strong exponentially, and much milder exponential screening, which is proportional to small factor m2 squared divided by m sub zero. If you consider opposite limit, we would have different kind of screening. And well, we change magnitude of condensate, change temperature, and take different possibilities are open. Here would be exponential screening multiplied by cosine or whatever oscillating function. And this is not really analog. It's simply more or less Debye physics. But then, as I already mentioned, P sub zero is an odd function of K. So there will be contribution into asymptotics from this imaginary axis. And the potential behaves as a power, but very big power, r to power 6, something like that in the case of well, it again depends upon the magnitude of different terms. It is if condensate is already appeared, but there could be situation that chemical potential is equal to its maximum value, but condensate not yet appeared. So temperature is higher than necessary for condensate formation, or asymmetry is not big enough. So it could be just boundary case. And at the moment of condensate formation, asymptotic behavior of the potential changes quite strongly, r to the 6 to r to the 4. Maybe this effect may be a signal of condensate formation. So screening phenomena becomes quite different and even, well, amplitude, it's inversely proportional to temperature, while this one is not. And this coefficient is very much different from this coefficient, so it may be useful in normal plasma physics, but I don't know, it's not so easy to make condensate. We don't have, maybe normal plasma physics, it doesn't work, because to have it normal plasma physics, we need to have charged bosons, and it could be what we have, what kind of stable charged bosons we have. We either have pi zero, or sorry, pi plus, pi minus, or some nuclei. And I wonder, I'm not sure if we could be in a good position to make those nuclei to condense, because there are surely electrons. Electrons are lighter, and normal Debye mass of electron would be dominant in comparison with those effects. So we need something different, maybe in the early universe, where similar situation may be possible, but not in normal plasma physics. And that's because we have charged fermions are lighter than charged bosons, and so screening by charged fermions are normally dominant. So on the other hand, there could be some kind of implications in cosmology. Okay, now about bosonic analog of Friedel oscillations. The same phenomena will take place because of pinching of poles and branching points of pi zero zero. But essential difference is that position of the poles disappear, well, they all accumulated at the same point when T goes to zero, when temperature goes to zero. If you remember position of the poles in fermionic case, all tend to non-zero value, namely value of the chemical potential. Here it's somewhat different, and because of that, the results are also technically quite different. And we considered a few things, namely big temperature, well, non-zero, non-negligible temperature, so that R by square root of MT is big. In that case, we would have situation like that, exponential screening and Friedel-like oscillations here, divided by R squared. So if this term is not very big, then exponential screening is not essential. And we come to the next limit, which would be something like that. We would have power law, R to power 6, but not oscillating. So we would have Friedel oscillations in the sense that we have power law screening, but they're not oscillating as in the fermionic case. So there are several possibilities. As for practical implications, I think only in cosmology it could be interesting. Okay, I think I stop here. Even faster than I expected.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, strong fall off with R. You're getting R to
strong what?
So 1/r to 4, 1/r to 6. Mm-hmm. So as R gets large, very quickly these effects fall off. Very small.
Yes.
So aren't there other effects that are just going to be totally dominant over this pretty long behavior? I mean, are there special cases you're thinking of where this difference is important?
This polarization operator is essential, in fact, also space-space components for for phase transition. In fact, what we studied is there is a statement that if lepton asymmetry, for example, is large, then the electric theory symmetry is not restored. Or another way, symmetry restoration would take place at higher temperatures. Usually, it takes place something like in TV range when,
I don't see that because you have temperature. You still have the divide masses in.
Yeah. But
so as large temperature, all the masses become just dependent on T. Broken masses are just a small perturbation.
What you don't see that symmetry restoration, it is not our statement, it was long ago, but I think it is right. It can be seen if you calculate effective potential with leptonic, non-zero leptonic number, you will see the temperature of phase transition would be higher than in the usual case. And so temperature may be really very high if lepton asymmetry is of order of unity. And this is a statement which I don't know, a couple of dozen publications on that, and probably is correct. But we are not sure if it works or not, that's why we started to do that. And all these techniques, technique is essential for this problem. And as byproduct, we found that just a surprise for us. So, and this statement, we can talk, and I can give you references to the papers. There was a paper by Linde, by Graziella Gilmini, with some collaborators. So there are several works where people all agree, though at the moment I'm not sure if they're right or not, but all agree that temperature of electric phase transition with big lepton asymmetry could be lifted to very high values, even above effective sphaleron interaction. So that if you have large lepton asymmetry, it may be not equalized with baryon asymmetry due to sphaleron physics, because sphaleron started to operate roughly 10 to the power 10 gigaelectron volts, and with very big asymmetry, already at this temperature, electric physics is broken. That was our motivation, and it has nothing, not much to do to the screening. In fact, it is important to know effective potential. So it's somewhat, and what I'm talking about now is a byproduct of what our first task. Yes.
Could you maybe explain how you can have such a large lepton asymmetry? Because in Hebrew, one would think that neutrino oscillations, I mean, distribute the lepton asymmetry and then you run into a strong bound from
N. There are two things. First, as for neutrino oscillations, it was just our paper with Petkov, Raffelt, six people did that. If we have large, for example, well, there was were limits on muon asymmetry, tau asymmetry, and electric asymmetry. And this one from BBN was known to be at the level chemical potential divided by temperature at the level of 0.1, somewhat smaller. But these two guys could be 2, 3. And if there are neutrino oscillations, this, and this would be equalized. So limit on electric asymmetry is applicable to that. And so large asymmetry of this kind is not allowed. OK, next thing. This result is not necessarily true if there is a coupling of neutrinos to myron. In that case, this transition would be inhibited. It was our paper with Fuminobu Takahashi, Japanese guy. And in that case, effective potential is so strong, or refraction index, that this transformation is suppressed in the primary universe. So we can make big lepton asymmetry without contradiction with BBN. Next thing is usual, people say that we cannot have big lepton asymmetry because due to electric physics, it becomes more or less equal to baryon asymmetry. Well, more or less, it's almost 50%, 50-50, almost. I want to generate by Afflecken-Dine, for example, mechanism, big lepton asymmetry, small baryon asymmetry, and next was idea to make lepton asymmetry so big that electric symmetry would be broken before sphalerons were effective. Sphalerons becomes effective at the temperature, I don't remember exactly, something like that, maybe 12 here. So they would not work at the moment of generation of lepton asymmetry, and they would not work later because lepton asymmetry would destroy electric symmetry. And the sphalerons work only in the unbroken phase. So this was the idea, and we simply found that as a byproduct, which was somewhat interesting for us. to see what for us were new things, and in particular, surprised that Bose condensation was not taken into account in the screening phenomena. We may be wrong or not, but I don't know. But at least we found something new. Yes.
What is the intuitive source of this
distillation? I don't know. In fact, I tried to figure out and ask my younger collaborators, who has maybe more vivid imagination, and have
vivid imagination. Solve it in other dimensions.
Or not yet. I don't know if it helps or not. I had some feeling, but you see, it's a kinetic equation, it's first order equation. It doesn't give rise, well, maybe I'm wrong. I started to say something that it doesn't give rise to oscillation, but it is not true because there is very well known phenomenon in chemical reaction, Belousov, Protopopov or something, and you can see in the test tube that color that the sample inside changes color and it runs over this tube periodically in time. Yes, I think it is, and yeah, maybe you know, there are two Russians, Belousov and somebody else reaction, and then it was, so maybe if, in kinetic equations there is something which leads to oscillations, but I understand that this argument is not very good, simply because what is shown in this kind of reaction is temporary oscillations. Here is space oscillation. And the only image which I have, but it's easy to criticize, that the charge is so greedy that it attracts more particles than necessary to neutralize. So it becomes negative, and being negative, it gives rise to negative potential, and this negative potential attracts more particles and becomes positive, but it's nothing because it's just hand waving. I don't have any feeling based on equations. Wait, maybe I interrupt you immediately. That first phenomenon of oscillations was found for purely fermionic plasma. Electrons plus something heavier to neutralize it, but everything set on electrons. Now we studied somewhat similar, we found similar oscillating phenomena for bosons. When we foresee it, we decided that something basically wrong with our approach or calculation, so we thought, and then repeated paper by Gabadadze. It was not big difference. Maybe they did it anyhow before us. So I don't think we did it before. But there was reference to Friedel oscillations, and then they saw this oscillating behavior. They didn't pay attention that there is 1/k², but in the next paper after us, they agreed.
In your calculation?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Which diagram exactly contributes to this one of the?
It contributes this diagram, which is behind our boss, this one. And this is this solid line, our bosons. So this is proportional to photon polarization operator, which contains integral over f plus f bar. And this contains delta function, C of delta. And I don't have a game, I don't have intuitive understanding of that. We have, where is it? Oops, wait a moment. We have this integral, for example, for bosons, and if you go to delta function here, we would have 1/mass. Ah! So we have this expression, we have dqq squared, delta function here, and if you look at the term, we have to go to q, which is mathematically small, zero, and then it means that we have q over k, and q cancelled out with that, and I would have 1/k² coming from here. Mathematically, it is clear, and then also Gabadadze and Rosen agreed with us. They calculated oscillating behavior, but didn't pay attention to this 1 over k squared. More complicated is the term 1 over k, which is which appears when c is equal to 0. But it also can be done also analytically. I describe that. So I don't know, I have don't have physical intuition when there is 1 over k squared term. Oh, rather unusual. And I don't need to go to mathematically small k when I calculate asymptotics. It is not, it is somewhere at finite distance from zero. And so there could be always reasonable limits.
And the wavelength is the boson mass.
No, bosons are at rest and condensate.
What is the wavelength of the oscillation?
Ah, wavelength of the oscillations. It is, let me see where it is. Oh, no, it's probably was before. Oscillations is m sub 2 by r, and m sub 2, it is m sub 4. Up, sorry, m sub 2 to power 4 is c multiplied by m sub b, where c is magnitude amplitude of the condensate, roughly speaking, number density of bosons in this mode with zero momentum. By the way, I maybe some of you know this definition of bosonic condensate, which I presented, like solution of kinetic equations, because I never saw it in textbook, neither in Landau Lifshitz, nor anywhere else. There are always different things. I mean, this expression for the distribution function as a result of solution of equilibrium of kinetic equation, namely vanishing of the collision integral. It should be, because it's practically trivial, it should be somewhere in textbooks, but I didn't find it. I tried maybe more intelligent books, but there were much more complicated derivation of more or less similar expression. For example, I saw in Landau Lifshitz in fifth volume that such term is present, again, after a few pages of reasoning, which is more complicated. So. If you find, please let me know, because it must be somewhere. It's an absolutely trivial thing.
Okay, so are there any questions? All right, so let's thank Professor Dalla. Mm-hmm.